changing as far as what's going on with my health, only for the worse, not for the better. And realizing with oncology, we keep getting into uncharted territories and waters we've never experienced before. And some of them have not experienced. So it's them being uncomfortable. And then, you know, you have your family physician, your main physician that could, you know, kind of directs everything. And then they get concerned. And then it makes everybody concerned. And then, of course, as a patient, you try not to get concerned. I mean, but you can, I can sense and feel off of my doctors when they start getting concerned. I'm just lucky that they have been brutally honest with me, no matter how tough it's been, because I do better just telling me than hiding things. I don't need anything hidden from me, and I made that very clear. But I realize now, you know, taking breaks from the podcast is because things are too serious and I just need a break. I need just a different reality check, you know, to go into different, you know, laughter, I'm just going to say. Doing skits. It was Running on Coffee. That was the podcast that was most hated on the skits because everybody claimed they were the characters. I mean, they have multiple people claim they're the same character. I don't get it. But I'd be like Saturday Night Live and claiming, you know, multiple people or multiple characters. And I mean, how do they get away with, you know, Saturday Night Live? I don't know. Yeah, it's just, that's the past. Leave the past in the past. Oh my God, move forward. It's the past. Your past is part of your journey. Whether you want to believe it or not, or whether you like it or not, your past is part of your journey. It's your life story. It's part of you. That's right. And you can't erase that. It's part of you. Not dealing with prior things in your past that could be detrimental, hurtful to other people, situation, remains still active to this day until you address the skeletons and not dress them up in, you know, costumes, but address skeletons in your closet. You'll never move past the past until you deal with it right now, today, this very second, because you'll never move forward. I've not had one therapist that does not drill that philosophy. I mean, hone in on it because you have to. You know, everybody has to take ownership for yourself, your actions, your behavior, decisions, period. And if it's hurtful, you know, you damn straight you do. You have to. You know, nobody has to blow it off and play it off and brush it off what happened to you. Something happened to you is detrimental. It changed your life, affected your health, whatever it is. You have a right for whoever did or whoever's did to make it right. And guess what, folks? That's not up to you. You didn't do something, somebody else did it. It's their turn, okay? That's not for you to correct something that somebody else did. I don't care what it is we're talking about. That's not your responsibility, ownership for somebody else's behavior. As some people call it, emotional immaturity. Somebody does something and they don't want to admit to it. They don't want to deal with it outside, out of mind. They gaslight, they project, they blame it on the person who did it to, some strange behavior, do something. Ever do something, somebody does something to you? And then when you call them out and then they start getting angry and start yelling at you, like twisting it like you did something to offend them or them, those people, I mean people, individuals, whatever. Okay, that's a form of gaslighting, okay? Emotional immaturity is when it doesn't matter how old you are. And that's the part we're working on. We had this past week with my therapist is emotional immaturity. And some books and stuff gave me the link of emotional immaturity and how that looks. Not what the argument is about or what happened. That's not what, it doesn't matter what it's about. Is dissecting and being explained behavior of people. Why people do the things they do. Emotional maturity is a damn thing. A lack of maturity. Emotional immaturity. A lack of maturity. Emotionally. Not be able to process thoughts. Not to be able to handle stress. Not to be able to handle anything negative. Not addressing anything outside, out of mind. You know, hide, run, evade, avoid, take it to the grave, bury whatever you've done, something hurtful to people. Emotional stability and maturity is taking ownership. Hey, listen, I did this, this, this. Whether you should step forward instead of getting caught red-handed, is step forward. But here's the thing. It's just don't do things that are hurtful to people or jeopardize their health or if they're already sick any further than what they're dealing with now. Because if dealing with their health, that's a hell of a laugh. That's enough. They don't need anything else. Yeah. Truth. Not opinion. Fact. Emotional immaturity. We're talking about it again next week. Once a week. I'm going to have to go every other week because there's things and stuff with my health going on that it's like I'm getting overwhelmed. And when I start getting overwhelmed, I have to figure out the importance. And sometimes taking a break for me is what's going to be needed. And right now, it's like the point where I just had to just escape mentally and just have some fun, which for me is skits, and laughing, which is a part of skits, which is acting and acting goofy, and improv is part of skits, because you just go by the, you know, there's no second take. First take, that's it. Whatever comes out, however it ends up on video, is what it is. I have needed that. Once a day I carve out, and it's me time. And whether alone, I have realized, I wish I would have realized sooner than now where I'm at my life with my journey. I wish I would have realized that I enjoy designing and crafting nails, whether they're coffin nails, square, short nails, and taking just the nail itself, just a plain nail. A lot of people wonder how they get these ideas and that. And I'm not talking about, you know, getting... Well, of course, they're fake nails, so I'm not talking about like the nail salon when you get, you know, the chemicals and stuff, which I don't think that's healthy anyway. But everybody's entitled. Women love nails. Ladies love their nails. I'm talking about fake nails. I'm talking about the nails, you know, the acrylic nails, the plastic nails, and just doing whatever you want to do and making some great designs. And I'll tell you what, the more blinged out, the better. I wish I would have, you know, it just came to mind by accident. Wonder what it would be like to design nails. How would it feel? You know, wonder if I would enjoy it. Do I have a steady hand enough to do it? You know, and I wish I would have started. Well, I talk about heck of a business in nails. You wouldn't think until you go online. I mean, some of these women and their companies, these ladies and their nails, I mean, we're talking easily $100 a set charging nails. They can't even keep them in stock. That's crazy, isn't it? And then having my, you know, getting blinged out nails, you know, and getting some blinged out nails and designing blinged out nails and just, you know, doing a little bit of this and that, or, you know, realize how much as women, we're really into nails. I think women always were. Don't get me wrong. I never was. But for me, I didn't like the chemical stuff, like the nail salons. I don't like anything permanent, you know, and I don't want to have to keep coming back every 3 weeks, you know, for filling. And I just don't enjoy sitting there. For me, it just, I realize it's just, it caused me anxiety too. I don't know why, but salons do. I'm realizing that now. Hair salons, nail salons, I don't know why. That's what it is. Took a therapist to figure out why I feel the way I do. That's not normal, because all women enjoy a spa day, whatever, I don't. It just strikes anxiety and nervousness and that. And I understand now. Now I understand why. The more in-depth, intense therapy, which is, this is the last part of therapy. It's really intense therapy. And now I understand why. I don't like talking a lot on the phone. Now I understand why. And that's obviously clear. That's clear why. And it's sad that when you go through things in life, that it ends up on the flip side, you end up with anxiety problems. And that's a shame. When you realize that, folks, whether you're a lady or a man, is deal with that head on with the therapist early. It's never too soon. Just don't wait till late. You know, don't wait like I did, wait forever to figure it out. Don't be afraid to bring something up. It's not going to sound goofy to a therapist. It's going to make sense. A good therapist is going to figure out and tell you why you feel that way. It's going to make sense. You're going to have the aha moment. I know I did. And I'm like, okay, all right, now it makes sense. Well, all right. Wish I would have knew this sooner than later. But I've been enjoying doing skits. I cannot share them here on For Yourself, My Journey. For reasons that be, I just can't right now. But I'm hoping maybe to. I carve out. It takes me 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes max to change and get the hair and things going and face, you know. You're creating the look in the face and that. It's about 10, 20 minutes. And then about maybe 5 minutes. Maybe if I do a longer skit, longer video, 10 minutes. A total time, less than an hour. That hour is, for me, once a day carved out. I mean, there has been, you know, a couple days where I haven't been able to do it. And then if I have a better day the next day, I'll just do an extra video. It's fun for me, and I have a blast. And I watch them back and laugh my ass off, because, I mean, I just need a good laugh. laughter has always got me through the tough times, no matter if it was dysfunctional stuff, things with relations, with marriage, or if it was my health. That was my go-to. It's always been laughter. And creating things, skits, you know, puppets, you know, things like that. Just being creative, you know. And I don't regret, you know. I just wish with the nails I would have honed in on that and tried that, you know, sooner than later, waiting now. Because now it's like I get to this point, I'm not going to be able to do nails and design nails, you know, for reasons of being. But I wish I would have done it. I was talking to somebody yesterday, I wish I would have figured out. I really like designing and doing things like that, which is right up my alley, you know. It's definitely something I should realize I would enjoy doing. It's just a little too late. But I'm having fun with the skits, and that's been an hour a day carved out. I'm trying my best to get out once a day. It's been tough. Working with Eric and for personal reasons and things, there's things I'm not gonna discuss. No matter what a relation is or things that have happened or whatever, it doesn't matter. When you get to a point in your health, and it was never a joke. It never was. And people took it as a joke or thought I wasn't serious, or I don't know who the hell in the right frame of cuckoo mind thought me going to oncology wasn't serious. That's a crying shame, because that should have taken seriously. It would have been taken seriously if everybody would have been there. It wasn't. That's a shame. No, we shouldn't. Never take anything that serious with your health for anyone. Take it as a less of or not serious. That's not okay. But at the point, it's like, I always love walking the dogs, and I can't do it anymore. Things are changing so rapidly, and I said this 3 months ago to my original oncology group, my original oncology specialist, is that I have a feeling when things get bad, it's gonna go quick. And they asked me why, and I said, I just have a feeling, and that's unfortunately how it's turning out. I don't know if that's unfortunate or a blessing, I'm not sure, or really not. There are so many things that if I could tell myself years ago that I know now, I wish I would have known then. And one big thing I realize is planning ahead with your health. When your oncology treatments, folks, and they fail, and it doesn't pan out to be any remission, I mean long, long, long term, okay? Remission never happened for me. 3 weeks later, I'm back under scan, and this thing is starting to grow back. The ovarian tumor started growing back. And we rescan me every 3 weeks for a while. It just kept growing back. And we did every 6 months for a while. And then we did it once a year. Okay. We knew after a year, you know, the initial prognosis was 5 years. In April this year will be 7. I thought I was already 7 years. No, April this year will be 7 years. When you're sat down with your oncology team that are doing your treatments, whether it's chemo, radiation, multiple surgery, whatever, gold standard, they usually keep radiation last, you know? They put the most harsh stuff last. Let's do the surgery, let's do chemo, and then let's leave the last, which should clean everything up. Well, the radiation never did anything. The tumor defied it. It got it, it zapped it, whatever you'll call it. We maxed it out. It shrunk it, but it started growing back right away. And I was told you have 5 years. First year, you better enjoy it, because we shrunk it enough to where you shouldn't have as much pain and to be able to move around freely once you recover from the treatments. And then we'll fill up little things that'll help, which is kind of like supplemental treatments, things like that, to kind of keep this thing at bay. But you can never keep things growing back at bay. Unless you truly get the whole enchilada, the tumor, and every part of the tissue in that, and get a clean cut margin. And I've always known this for oncology, unless we feel like we got all the margins and clean cut, and we, you know, got it completely out of your system as best as we can, it is your best grace chance to go into remission. There's always, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think ever cancer ever goes away. It's just bad cells that band together and they create you know, a bigger cell, and then it bands together and it creates this oblong, weird looking shape. It's never a perfect shape. And it keeps getting more and more and more, and it gets larger and larger and larger, and that's how I look at it. When somebody gives you a timeline, it's a hypothetical guess, yes. But oncology, your team, has treated enough people. If you get a damn good oncology team and a damn good oncology group, they have had enough cases to know that your prognosis, and when they give you a timeline to get out and enjoy yourself or get out and travel, or you're going to start, and to me it was a year, and I did, I traveled as much as I could, and I started getting sick again. That was a clue that this thing was gaining speed, okay? And then it got to a point where I could travel 3 hours, and I could travel 2 hours, and I could travel 1 hour. And now, it's unfortunate, but I thought I'd create like a little bucket list, and I can't anymore. There is no more bucket list for me. I can't travel anymore. I can't go more than an hour, and it's pulling it even doing 40 minutes because I had to do that to go to another group out of state, and I couldn't do it. It got me for a couple days after. Can't do it anymore. I'm realizing the emergency room is going to be my best friend now. I have been blessed to stay out of the hospitals and that, but I'm in a point now with my health where I have got to utilize emergency rooms because, you know, there's certain things that I cannot do at home. Even though we're trying to keep me under palliative comfort care at home, there are some parts now that are going on with my health that I'm not going to be able to stay at home. And I've got to experience those to where, yes, I'm going to hospital before I get to this point where I get too bad. What we thought was a stomach virus ended up not being a stomach virus. I kind of knew, I'll be honest, I knew it was not a stomach virus. I knew this was something new to deal with things progressing. And the blood work, when I was in the emergency room, they sent a lot, some of the labs, actually quite a few labs out of state, per bioncology, is to send some of the blood out and running some other tests that usually aren't normal that they would do in a hospital setting. We're not talking about, you know, normal testing. And they came back over this weekend. Saturday came back and started trickling down, and then talking to oncology, the other group that connected with my current group. And I got a call from the oncology assistant while I was in the hospital. We talked about some of the things, and I kind of knew where we were going. And then when the tests and things came back and my labs came back, I kind of knew that was it. This is it, you know. Now we're getting into the stage of, you know, things that I've not experienced before, that nobody, no oncology group can predict, because nobody knows what you experience when it starts getting really bad. My weight has continued to drop. I'm lucky now to be able to get one SlimFast down a day. And the one thing that I've found that works somewhat for me to where I know I'm getting some protein is Quest cookies, the Quest snickerdoodle cookie. I found them to be able to just started getting them through Amazon and being able to eat one a day. The problem is my blood work majority came back, but was sent out not normal, abnormal. My platelets came back low on the not good end, which coincide with some other tests that showed on the high end of malabsorption with the small and large bowel. So let's just say what we thought was a stomach virus, which I know couldn't have been right, because there were some symptoms that aren't normal. When it involves the stool, and it's stuff that most people, as they said, are embarrassed to talk about, and they don't want to talk about to ER doctor, let alone tell their own gastroenterologist. But it's important things, folks. When you have weird things going on that aren't normal, you've never experienced, and it continues, you better speak up and get out of the uncomfortable. Start talking about what you're seeing, okay? Because what you see is going to say a lot to emergency room doctor, your oncology and gastroenterology. They kind of knew what was going on, as my body's not absorbing nutrients and things. I'm passing bile. There's like, I don't want to get gross, but when you go, colors and things that just aren't normal, let's just say. And then they can run labs when they know, they kind of know what's going on. We always knew I didn't absorb medications right, but we're talking about nutrients and things, folks, that I'm drinking, consuming, not because, you know, with slow gut, let's just say with gastroparesis, slow gut, you can't, your body can't churn and the muscle contractions can't break food down. But we're talking about the high end of malabsorption. My small bowel and my small intestines, large bowel, large intestines aren't working. They're not absorbing nutrients. So I'm passing the fats. I'm passing part of things with the intestines that you should not pass. You should not see mucus. You should not see tissue. You should not see fats being passed. There's things like bile, coloring of things. I don't want to be gross, but I knew this was a stomach virus because it didn't go away. It hasn't gone away. And my weight, I think I say fortunate is it's been slow progression down. I don't plan tomorrow. And during the day, I plan the day. I plan on the parts of the day that I have in a good part of the day, and then I stay active and do what I need to do. But it's limited, and then I'm down. When you have really bad malabsorption problems, it affects everything. I'm now having to keep large bottles of Pedialyte and drinking a whole bottle of Pedialyte a day just to keep me balanced. And when I start depleting out and feeling off, completely off, which once I got the labs back, how I feel they're seeing, then you got to go to the emergency room and, get a line started and, get in and get out, as they say, as fast as you can, because you can't afford to catch anything going around at all, that would be it for me. But this is a whole new part of my journey that, is it scary? It was at first, yeah, because this is new. When we realized this wasn't viral, and it wasn't making sense, and they start sending stuff out, I knew they were on it, and that this was just a progression of things. It's not good. It's damn serious. How long can my body keep going? Low platelet count on the higher end of low, and malabsorption on the higher end is generally, as they said, is a lot of people who have cancer and progressive, with the tumor and things. Generally, when you get to that part of the journey, is it all goes hand in hand. It's most patients that they see don't get this part because a lot of most patients, let's face it, pass away by complication, or their body just, it shuts down and breaks down sooner than later. That's the truth. For whatever reason, I said I kept pushing and I beat the odds, but the odds are like a Star Wars movie. Excuse me, the odds aren't with me, and so it's a reality check of acceptance. And I wish. And even talking with friends and talking with Eric, it's like, I wish I would have, when I say I pre-planned things, well, there's part of things right now with my health that I wouldn't even thought of planning ahead. The things you have to plan. And first thing is you want to make sure your house is equipped and capable of what your future holds. When you have an oncology or oncology group and they tell you, things are going to get worse. You're going to experience what you are now, but you're going to experience things you never have before. The longer you keep defying it, the harder it gets. Okay, you need to start planning ahead. You need to start planning ahead. You need to research. You need to talk to people. You need to figure it out. Don't wait, like me, until you get into this really bad part that you never expect. And now all of a sudden, you're realizing that you're not prepared. If you make a decision, especially to stay at home, at this part of your journey, your house has got to be equipped and prepared. Okay, don't wait, you know, and I'm talking all the way down from constantly keeping a supply of Pedialyte. I mean, who would have, I'd never even thought about that. Because it's literally your lifesaver. It's what keeps you going, is the Pedialyte. It's crazy to say that, but that's where I'm at. Keeping that on hand, keeping Pepto on hand, keeping Imodium on hand. We cannot, as they said, we're giving something for severe, this extreme, Imodium and prescription drugs. And then on the next day, we're on this extreme of almost complete bowel obstruction and having to go this route with, you know, other drugs that really, like Lanesse or whatever the hell it's called. I got a bottle of that and a bottle of this. They really aren't even meant. But what's happening is this thing's so large that it's literally either pinching off this part of the intestines or it's pushing this way. And it's like a quick evacuation of everything. And then on top of it, I'm not absorbing things. I'm not absorbing nutrients. I'm not absorbing the things I'm taking in. And it's, I don't know if I'm gonna say scary. I've been through a lot of scary stuff. I think to a normal person, yes, it would be scary. To me, alarming, concerning, no, not so much. Acceptance really quick. I don't have time to think about, do I want to accept this? You accept it now. Every day, not knowing if you're going to have this extreme or the other, and knowing that one or the other, either or, could get you. You can become septic here, or you can become completely depleted, like I have a few times this way. And now you've got to chug this to keep you from getting this, or you got to just completely go to clear fluids and not even eat for how many days in this extreme. My gastroenterologist in Ohio said it best. When this thing started growing bigger, he said it verbatim, this is going to do nothing but cause problems. This thing is making matters worse. Now when it starts getting larger, where it's at, ovarian tumor, it's going to be pushing down on all the vital parts that can really make you sick. And it's concerning. I thought we were going to go to some type of way of outpatient or tube to help me with the weight loss. Until oncology, the second group, chimed in and everybody had their powwow and their meeting, and I was expecting the worst case scenario, but I really wasn't expecting it to come back that quick, that they are not going to intervene anymore. We're not intervening in that route, Kim, because now we have more problems. Even a small outpatient procedure or anything that could risk versus benefits, one time infection, that's it. You don't have the immune system anymore to do it. I don't have the weight. This is when you start looking at, okay, now at the point where getting the house, and if you have kids or if you have four kids, it doesn't matter, is getting them on a routine and a schedule and making changes, getting the house together. And the hardest part is understanding is that, you can't go through this alone. Regardless of what you go through in a relation, whether it's a marriage or fiance or boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, I always say people can't change. It's true, because you can't change people. But really, in reality, I've learned by standing back and watching is that people change when they want to change, and they'll do so on their own time and own terms, and that we can't cross out change and people, and people will surprise you, and sometimes really good ways. I'll leave it there. But this is tough, because I'm used to constantly doing everything and keeping active, and I can't anymore. I'll have, like, you know, yesterday I had an hour, a good hour, and you clean the car, you know, or doing something where I feel productive and things I need to catch up on. And then you get back down the count. When you start depleting out quick, I start getting dizzy. I start, like, I can't think of what I'm saying. I start getting confused, mentally foggy, and then I know, okay, I need to stop what I'm doing. I need to rest. I need to grab the jug of Pedialyte. I need to replenish myself back. And if I don't feel good within the next 15 minutes, I know I need to go to the hospital. This is my life now. It's not changed in the past 2 weeks. I knew this wasn't just a stomach virus, because there was other symptoms that you have to not be embarrassed. You just need to let your doctor's emergency room know and let them do the testing and labs and that, and it'll all make sense. But they're not gonna be able to help you if you're too embarrassed to share things. I'm gonna end this podcast and finish this hopefully tomorrow, but I can't stress this enough for anybody going through oncology journey, no matter what you're struggling or what you're dealing with, is you need to take it serious when they give you a time frame. I know that only God knows when our time's up. It could be sooner or later, but you need to start planning now. You need to pre-plan everything. You need to plan ahead. You need to make sure you've got all the helping hands you can get. You've got dysfunctional family problems, they need to get the SHRT straight, okay? And if it has nothing to do with you and there's dysfunction and you did your part, then they need to get it together. They need to get themselves together, okay? If there's willing, able bodies, then there's willing, able bodies, and I don't care what kind of family you have, then you start getting it together, okay? There's no excuse but excuses. This is not your time to figure it out. It's their time to figure themselves out, okay? You need the help. You need people to ask you what you need, because you're not going to be able to do this alone, and it's going to be hard. You've got to plan things ahead, as far ahead as you can. Because in the end, when you get to this point, planning ahead sure the hell can't be soon enough. Amen.